This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You can learn a lot about someone, not just by what they say, but you know how they say it and why they say it. In the Karen Reed case, prosecutors are digging deep into behavior, encrypted messaging, secret calls, selectively leaked evidence, and a controversial alliance with a blogger known for online warfare, basically. Their argument? That this was a strategic, calculated attempt to pressure witnesses and shape the narrative outside of the courtroom. But when you strip away the headlines, what does the behavior actually tell us? Is this the panic of an innocent person backed into a corner, fighting for their life, doing whatever they think they need to do? Or are these calculated moves of someone trying to outmaneuver justice, thinking they're smarter than the rest of the room? Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, with us. Robin, based on what you've seen so far in all of this, do the alleged actions of Karen Reed suggest consciousness of guilt, or just someone who thinks she's smarter than the system?
Yeah, I never get a sense of whether it indicates guilt or innocence in this case, just because it's really complicated in the sense of no one remembers anything.
Yeah, is all involved.
But I think the greatest thing it shows us is her. You know, this is a life pattern of how she deals with problems, how she deals with life in general. She deals with it with a lot of attempt of control, a lot of chaos, a lot of unhealthy relationships, and a lot of noise around her. And so it's very hard for individuals to kind of have and set for themselves a clear path forward to solve problems when you're creating half the problems for yourself. You know, she has this inability, as we've said numerous times, to have a loving critic in her life. Now, granted, I thought about that really hard too. Loving critics are these people that kind of gives us this objectivity so that before we write something down and mail it or say something and it's broadcast out on a Netflix show or something, that they're there for us, that care deeply about us, that aren't tied to the outcome. And so she may have those things and people in her life, but the problem is her ego is getting in the way of her listening to any advice and guidance from anyone, if they're even offering it, because she's clearly indicating what she thinks is right and everyone else is wrong. And I think just from the string of texts that we've seen from her and people involved in the case beforehand and now, it's very congruent. This is just how she lives and who she is. And it doesn't bode well for someone who's trying to inspire people to trust her, because these are not the behaviors of trust.
No, it's not. I feel like at this point, it's not even an argument of, did she kill him? Did she hit him? Was this intentional? It's like, this is like a whole other case now that it's become of, did she try to influence people to not testify or to scare them or to just get her way in some way, shape, or form, or punish them in some way, shape, or form, including their family members and people who had absolutely nothing to do, even if you believe the theory of that he was beat up in the house. We're talking kids and people. It's nuts.
Right.
And the fact that we're there, it doesn't bode well for the rest of the case, because it really shows this is kind of a manipulative person, a person who's doesn't seem to have a whole lot of empathy or ability to feel empathy. This is just my conjecture based on what she demonstrated on television. And then you could start going down the road of, well, if she did hit him, would she show any guilt? Would she show any sort of remorse? Because clearly she doesn't seem to show it, even when she does seem to recognize in some parts of that documentary, what if I did? Because she goes down that road quite a bit too, but then bounces to, well, then my attorney told me this. Well, your attorney wasn't in the car with you that day, and your initial reactions were, did I? Differences of opinions there between her initial reaction and then when the attorneys get involved.
Yeah, and all these incongruent behaviors and bouncing back and forth again erodes trust, and as we've said, unfortunately, it destroys her likability. And now likability is not admissible in court.
No,
and that's not what the jury should be deciding on, guilt or innocence. But I'm afraid. Now, granted, I like the judge in this case so far, and hopefully the jury instructions are very, very clear, and hopefully the jury is very objective and not subjective, but we're all human beings and so are juries, because I'm hoping that this doesn't come down to a trial of likability or dislikability, because then justice won't really be served. But again, because of the challenges we have with evidence and possible police tampering with it or not well handling of it, and Proctor was fired. I mean, there's so much. Can you imagine if there wasn't what was going on the prosecution side when it came to Proctor and the investigation, what this case would be?
Yeah. If they just simply did not go down the road of they beat him up in the house and just let it ride with that, be done. Right. But they decided it's like less is more sometimes. And they went with more, a lot more, a ton more. And that more totally convoluted this case. It made it insane. It divided a community. And then if what we're looking at here, other crimes may have been committed on top of ones that maybe she did or did not do. But over here, you are very likely committing crimes after the fact if charges are brought, because it certainly does look a lot like collusion with that with the blogger. What do you think is going on here? Just your own personal opinion when you try to identify, is this something where, do you think Karen realized the ramifications for her actions when she started getting involved, communicating directly with the blogger? Even though her attorney said have an intermediary, and eventually she's like, well, it's easier doing it this way. It's kind of what she presented on the doc. What do you think of that? Do you think that she was intentionally knowing that this is going to get really bad for a lot of people, or she just fighting for her life, as some will argue, and you'll do anything you need if you're fighting for your life? So that's, she was backed into a corner. So this stuff is justified.
It's funny you use that word intentional and planning and things like that when describing or when we're asking these questions about Karen Reed. I don't think she does any of those things. I mean, her impulsivity seems to be extremely high. I just think she's a reactive, impulsive person, and she's got a lifetime of reps of using her skill sets that she has in life to control situations, control people, control narratives, because this is who she is. Mm-hmm. This is just, I do not think she's done anything that she doesn't otherwise do in every other aspect of her life. That's most likely, again, doing, putting my conjecture hat on, put myself in the place of the people inside the house that night, that looks like they didn't really like her. And so they saw an opportunity to pile on her because they didn't like her, and we're in the mess we are now because they piled on when they shouldn't have piled on, obviously, because they're supposed to be investigating. But I don't think a lot of this is necessarily, again, I don't like, you know, the word premeditated is not right or wrong in this, because I don't think she premeditates anything. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a conscious choice, but I think their choices are made so fast and she just reacts to them that she does all these things we're seeing. It's just kind of ridiculous.
The problem with it is it wasn't just I'm talking with this blogger and he's pro me, so I'm going to be about that. Then she starts seeing what he's doing and the actions that he's taking out there with the harassment of people, just the insane behavior that a normal, healthy human being would not exercise or be a part of. And she continues to basically feed that with, as in her own words, almost daily communication, 5 to 6 days a week for several hours on end. And was, now we're seeing in some of these messages back and forth where she's like, this is not for public consumption yet, but you can see it, Mr. Blogger. And then, you know, immediately, ooh, look, the leak comes out over here about this. Or not even leak, sometimes it's just flat out doxing human beings with their home information and personal information that shouldn't be out there by a maniac with a microphone and still continuing to do it and never saying, no, this is too much. This is not appropriate. I'm glad you're pro me, but it's like she doesn't have the brakes there or the wherewithal to say there's a line we don't cross here. And I'm surprised her attorneys didn't either.
Well, everyone's feeding each other's own self. I mean, literally this self-centered group of people, and they're not centered on each other. They're centered on their own actions. They're centered on their own notoriety. They're all living inside their own echo chambers. And so since there are a huge contingent of pro-Karen people out there, that's all they're listening to. Mm-hmm. And so they're only feeding their audience. Remember, laws of human nature, Robert Greene, we only consume information that validates our own self-opinion. And if you got a network of people out there that are validating your self-opinion and they want more, well, then you're going to keep providing more of that self-opinion. And since you're not listening to anyone objective on this entire thing on the other side or naysayers or anything else, and then when you shout them down or dox them or anything else, you think you're righteous because your people, your group, your social networking group is saying that you're on the righteous side. But again, the only thing they're doing is serving themselves. You know, a question sometimes comes up about, you know, Karen Reed, was she just trying to uncover and be a social justice warrior against the police department? So let's look at the data.
Yeah.
Give me another example in her life where she actually was a social justice warrior acting on behalf of someone else.
Good point. Yeah.
You know, you never have to form an opinion and take a side. You just look at people's life arcs and life arcs will tell you the answer.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know, and that's why behavior assessment's so fun. It's also so simple.
Yeah.
You just sit back, let go of your own conjecture, let go of your own opinion, and let the person's behavior tell you what the answer is. You know, because that's how we know. You know, like when we do all these cases, it's just taking a step back and looks and just saying, all right, you say this. Well, let's look at not just this moment in time, this 5 minute, 10 minute, there's this tragic night. And let's look at every night prior to that. What did the individual do throughout the course of their life and history? Mm-hmm. Does this stand out or is it kind of congruent with that behavior? So if someone claims they're about something, all right, I'm a social justice warrior. I'm just trying to expose corruption inside the police department. Great. Show me.
Mm-hmm.
Show me your benevolence you've had throughout your entire life. You know, the things you've done, you know, emails. It doesn't have to be actions. Just show me your postings on social media, how you've done this and how you fought against this. And this, you're seeing this as your great opportunity that's come to a head. Mm-hmm. It's an escalation. But if there's no escalation, well, it erodes credibility at that point, too, because it's just one more thing that says, I don't trust that.
Yeah. What do you think it says about what the heck was going on here? This is just complete opinion and conjecture with Reed and the blogger, where you have 40 plus hours of calls, at least of what we know of allegedly. Does that suggest something strategic that's going on there? Does that suggest, you know, she certainly seems to be someone who likes attention. And if you got someone that's given you a ton of attention, like the blogger had been, or has been, you may lean into that. You may feed into that, especially when you have a lot of people that are going, I think you may have killed someone. What is that? Is that just as simple as that is? It's just, it kept feeding her ego and feeding a narrative that she wanted to believe. And he was more than willing to be that voice and to be that guy that was going to keep giving that to her.
Yeah, I always think and try to go for the lowest common denominator and keep things simple. And I think the blogger saw an opportunity to have a case that could bring some attention to him as a writer, as a blogger, or whatever attention he's seeking. And again, not saying it wasn't for the right purpose or anything like that. Definitely not going against motives here at all. But it's just the behaviors that say this is an opportunity to partner with someone. Granted, now here's the other thing too, is like, you know, all people that produce social content like we do, we're looking for people to look at our content. And so we try to grab big cases like this to try to, you know, add some value, add some narrative, add some thoughts and opinions that people want to look at. So obviously this is what the blogger is going to do. But what happens next is that you're now going to, you need content to talk about. And so he actually was able to latch on to her. And she was talking to him. And so he's feeding that need for validation, that need for non-judgmental validation and seeking those thoughts and opinions and making it about her. And I'm going to throw on another conjecture on top of this. She appears to me to have what some will call that do personality typing, you know, an extroverted thinking function. In other words, she thinks out loud and not internally. And so when you have someone that extroverts their thinking instead of internalizing their thinking, she's getting energized as an extrovert and as an intuitive thinker that's thinking out loud with someone who can't wait to keep talking to her because it's feeding his content need and he's validating it more. So she's thinking out loud, rambling as thoughts, ideas, and all these lines are connecting in her head as she's creating an entire narrative around herself out loud, and he's just sucking it in because it serves his needs as well. That's mm-hmm. what I, again, pure conjecture,
yeah.
but just kind of looking at their personalities, that's what I think most likely would happens. I'll just say happens in situations like this.
Yeah, and I mean, and it makes sense. I mean, we're just trying to analyze the behavior of how on earth did this
and we get all know, here. I mean, do we not all know people like that? I mean, yeah. you and I do it right now too. It's like as you throw an idea out there, I start thinking out loud and we kind of go down these different roads. But when you have people that do that to such an extreme and has such legal consequences, like in her case, you need to learn to listen to your critics and have the humility to listen to your critics when they say, shut up.
What do you think this does? Does it do anything? Let me ask you that. In today's society, is this something that's going to move the needle in terms of her followers, or are they just so dug in like we see to many other, you know, people that are very boisterous? Does this hurt her with those people? Do these people that are out there with the shirts that are cheering her on after seeing her lack of empathy for pretty much anything with this? And again, I know she's being accused of murder. People keep throwing that one back. Well, she's being, I get that. Mm-hmm. But there's certain candor and decorum that you can have with people that is appropriate for this. And it's not been demonstrated by her army, basically. Do they pull back after seeing the curtain pulled back on who Karen Reed is?
No. For the established people that are on her side right now, like you said, her army, it's not going to sway the needle with them at all. I mean, so let's just use other examples we have in society right now.
Yeah.
You know, let's take it back not even to the current election cycle that we went through. Go back to Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Both sides had core army of people that either liked or disliked both or the other. Mm-hmm. You weren't swaying either of them. And everyone kept targeting and looking at new voters or people in the middle that they could then recruit to their side, because there's nothing that either one of those candidates can do or could have done that would have swayed their believers, their true believers. Because once you have a liking or disliking towards someone, it is very, very, very hard to overcome your own personal confirmation bias. And so what happens is when in Karen Reed's core believers, there's a lot of positive confirmation bias that they can rationalize all the things that she's doing that's going to be congruent with them thinking that she's innocent, that she's this good person, and that she's got righteousness behind what she's doing. Now, who it sways, though, is new people that are mm-hmm. coming into the case. And so that could definitely hurt her in that area. But that's why I think the prosecution side's a bit better suited for this now that Proctor's now out of the picture. So they got a little more solid ground. I think recently you don't hear a lot as much from them, except they're more keeping to the facts, ma'am, and getting away from the subjective liking and disliking. Mm-hmm. So it's edging their way, I think. But again, it doesn't matter any of this. It comes down to the jury. Mm-hmm. You know, will the jury be able to do this? Will the jury be able to put aside liking or disliking from all these facts that are going to be presented in the courtroom and just go to the data points, which are, again, are all over the place? I just hope that when presented, the expert witnesses can actually lock on and mm-hmm. be experts in whatever they're saying they're going to be experts in. And again, I give a lot of it's on the judge. It really is on the judge to really lay down a good rule of law here. And I think she's done a good job of that so far. We'll see.
And obviously her character is not on trial here, but it certainly is going to play a role. It always does. How do you think the jury is going to react now when the information is exposed out there of her communicating with Turtle Boy and the allegations of collusion, you know, where she's giving details about witnesses, homes, phone numbers, all sorts of personal information, and then it going out there to the public through the blogger, autopsy photographs, things that are not for public consumption. All of that, the list goes on and on. When the jury hears that, how is that going to affect their decision on her innocence or guilt, do you think? I mean, Murdaugh is another example of, like, look over here at all the horrible behaviors that he's demonstrated with these financial crimes, and then it really sunk him over here. Do you think that this could, you know, potentially get her convicted of second-degree murder when there's not a lot of strong evidence for second-degree murder?
Yeah. I mean, just look at our reaction to it. Yeah. And just listen, you know, everyone that's listening and watching it now. I mean, what's your reaction when you hear it? Because that's ultimately what a jury is. A jury is us. Mm-hmm. And now the only thing that becomes a variable in there is how it's presented and then defended by the attorneys. And that's why you hire a really good attorney on both sides, because it comes down to how they're going to paint that picture in the context. But again, the facts and the data are what they are. And so I think that's what it's really on the jury to do. And so, but yeah, I'm with you. It does not say that that's the action of someone who didn't do this. Her behavior is completely incongruent with what it should be. And again, it comes down to, as I know this is a big question, was she conscious of doing this or not conscious of doing it? Well, a life is still gone.
And at the end of the day, exactly. I mean, it's going to be a difficult one. I don't, because you're talking about trying to separate poor judgment from guilty knowledge. And they can both look somewhat similar. And something like this, the poor judgment argument to me goes out the window when you see the pattern, where you see it not stopping. It's like poor judgment is like, oh shit, I didn't know that he's that crazy or that he's going to go do these sorts of things. Let's lay off. No, let's like amp it up. Let's keep feeding him is what ended up happening. And that's pretty dark. But again, she kind of in her mindset, as we saw in that doc, is of the attitude that, well, the people that he's harassing, specifically the family members the officers and their kids and neighbors and all that stuff, anybody that disagrees with them, basically, is completely fair game. It kind of reminds me of Scientology a little bit, where it's like the fair game rule. Like, you disagree with us, we're going to do anything we can to destroy you.
You know, it's interesting you say it doesn't look like poor judgment, but at the same time, though, she's got a life arc of
it's really all poor judgment.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. She's had a life arc of poor judgment with communication.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first time I said, when thinking of her, was when they revealed the text messages that she was sending in rapid fire to Proctor. And they were, you know, again, when you look at, there was no filter, mm-hmm. there was no thinking about anyone else but herself. She wasn't thinking about his kids. She wasn't thinking about him. She was like, me, you need to do this. I mean, it was just like, I mean, it was within a split microsecond, you got a real good taste of that.
Yeah.
And then when I saw that, I was like, now we start seeing the arc that keeps fitting the poor judgment with communication. And has that not been her arc throughout this entire thing, is poor judgment with communication?
Yeah. The
And it's killing her.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It ultimately, it's that her personality that's going to end up destroying her more than it already has. Yeah. Because you look at, even before the crime, you look at the communications with her and John O'Keefe, and so many of them early on, I said, my God, this reminds me of people that I've...
Oh, I'm sorry, I said Proctor. Yeah, I meant John O'Keefe.
Yeah, John O'Keefe, yeah. It was so many of those, it's like, this reminds me of people that I've had in my own life, borderline, and I can't diagnose her, but borderline comes to mind. You know, certainly narcissistic behavior to a very, very high degree. And again, all about her. You're exactly right. Where it's like the kids, like, this guy is a saint from what we understand. All the things that he's gone through, taken in those kids, and it's still me. That doesn't necessarily change just because you're accused of a crime. You're still going to be in that mindset because that's so ingrained in you. If the life situations that you've been in of being with a man who's taken in two kids that are not his own, and he's trying to be a father, and you're still all about you and upset that he's spending time with them. Anyone that's upset of a parent spending time with their child and not them has issues.
So, you know, when it comes to strategy, when I first saw and the public became aware of that text message string between her and John O'Keefe, with the picking up the kids, I think it was.
Yeah.
That immediately gave a massive amount of sympathy to John O'Keefe and not to her. The best thing at that point I would have strategized with her for is to let the world know the jury know and everything else through your behavior from this point forward and the things I was going to highlight that was a blip on our behavior arc and our communication arc and not the norm for the pattern. And unfortunately, what she demonstrated every day since, and as we're looking at it, was that was complete norm for her communication pattern of behavior. And that every single day just validates that people wanted to get away from crazy. And it does not help when this evidence is then presented before the jury, it's completely undermining her, because especially when you have sketchy and incomplete and inconclusive actual real data points and evidence, you know, from taillight fragments to, you know, impact traumas on bodies, you know, it's been all over the place. When memories are scattered because of alcohol, you know, it's going to come down to facts and data like this, and she keeps undermining it.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.